The Camino de Santiago. We hear about this trail all the time in the outdoor community, and I don't know about you, but it's on my list. And because it's on my list, I invited Regina to present at our upcoming virtual summit. She's going to be talking about the French Way of the Camino because it's not just one trail, it's like a lot of trails. And so she's narrowed it down to a very specific geographic region, and that is what she is going to be talking about. She also runs a adventure travel company who leads trip and she leads trips all over the world. And I'm excited for you to meet her today and learn about what she does. If you want to learn more about our virtual summit, if you want to learn more about Regina, head on over to our website, hikelikewoman.com, click that summit tab, then click speakers, and you can learn more about her. But for now, please enjoy our conversation.
I am based in the Pacific Northwest, and I'm right outside of Portland, Oregon, which is actually where I grew up. I'm from this area, but I spent quite a bit of time. I lived for 10 years in Barcelona, Spain, and I also lived in Costa Rica and Guatemala. And then recently I was in Seattle for anybody who's in that area. Up in Seattle, I was there for 4 years, and I just moved back here to my roots. So kind of back home now.
That's a little taste of everything, really. I mean, from Barcelona to Costa Rica, that's a lot. That's a lot of difference.
You might notice that I chose places that were very sunny. Growing up in the Pacific Northwest, I thought, you know what I need? Vitamin D. I'm going to go to Costa Rica and Guatemala and then Spain, Mediterranean Spain, nice and sunny. But eventually I missed the water and the rain, and so here I am again.
Well, that's maybe why you travel still, so you can experience all of those places, but still call the Pacific Northwest home. How did you get involved in the travel industry? How did you start Bold Spirit Travel? What's kind of your origin story there?
Yes, I worked for many years as a journalist, and I wrote about culture and design and travel. And I don't know what took me so long, but I think sometimes in life it just has to be the right moment, right? We have to be ready for the next step. And so I was writing about all these cool places, and I would get emails from readers, and they would say, "Well, you just did the Camino. How would I do that? Or you just did this Mediterranean hike. Where did you stay?" And so there was a lot of advice happening, and eventually the light bulb went off, and I thought, "Well, I could take people. I could take people to these places. And who do I want to take? I want to take women." And I, because I really love traveling with other women, those have been some of my happiest travel memories. So I thought, we're going to do all women. We do one all genders trip per year. We're going to start out with these places that I know and love, places I've lived in. I mean, we go to Barcelona and the Costa Brava, we go to Costa Rica. And so that's how it started out. And it's a lot of fun. The idea is to show women, to encourage them, to help them to be bolder. So a lot of the guests who come with us, maybe it's their first international trip, or maybe it's their first solo trip. And so that's the idea. Being a little bit bolder, not just in travel, but in your life, right? And then also creating community, is something that's super important to me personally, just having a community of women. So bringing these guests together, and then hopefully they meet each other, they like each other, and then maybe they go on a trip together. Doesn't even have to be with me, somewhere else. And I've seen that happen over and over again. So it's really rewarding for me to bring women together, watch them go on their first international trip, and then see these friendships being created.
I agree. I agree. On the trips that we guide, it's the same thing. What I love is there's this beautiful moment where everybody, all the trip participants meet each other for the first time. And they meet each other for the first time and they're looking around and they don't know anybody oftentimes, or they know one other person and they're nervous and they're scared. And just a few hours into the trip, new friendships are formed, and those friendships just are the kind of friendships that last forever because they just had this shared adventure together.
Yes. Yeah. And that's an important thing to point out, that most of us feel anxious if we're going to go on a group trip or any mm-hmm. kind of group event. We're coming yeah. alone. Who are these people? Am I going to fit in? Am I going to be the youngest? Am I going to be the oldest? Is everybody going to be more fit than I am? There are mm-hmm. so many anxieties and worries that can go through our minds when we're about to try something new. And I try very hard to make that, to ease those worries and to yeah. make, to help the group come together. That, I know how that feels. And mm-hmm. the good thing is that most of the people who are coming on a trip like this, they want to meet you, you know, they want mm-hmm. to meet each other. They're friendly, they're open, mm-hmm. they're ready to make friends and go on an adventure. So usually, the bonding happens pretty quickly.
How do you encourage the woman to go on one of your trips who might be feeling like this is a big step? Because you mentioned before, some people, this is their first trip, international trip, they're the first time with a group. How do you encourage someone to kind of take that first scary step and book the trip when they don't know if they're going to even like it?
Right. Well, I mean, so more and more I'm doing videos. I think that helps when people can actually see, and a lot of photography as well. So people can see, this is what it would look like when I'm actually on a trip. But the other part is, if it's your first solo trip, you're coming with me or you're coming with one of the guides, we're there with you the whole time. We're not, it's a very hands-on, it's a small group experience. There's no more than, you know, usually about 13 people. So that tends to help. They know that they're going to be supported if something were to happen. Mm-hmm. And then we just talk through it. And I think a really important point is that most of the women who come with us, they come alone. Mm-hmm. They're not the only ones. Everybody's alone. You know, sometimes comes with her sister or, you know, a friend or something. But most people are coming alone and they're feeling the same way that you are feeling, you know, if mm-hmm. you're feeling anxious. And then as far as people get hung up on like, oh, I got to book these flights and layovers and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And it can be daunting if it's your first time. So we talk through that. And I can also connect people with a travel agent if they just are overwhelmed by planning mm-hmm. all, you know. So they're professionals to help. You know, if I need help with something that I don't know how to do or it's my first time, I hire a professional. And then that's the way we learn, right? And then the next trip is easier and easier and easier.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Throwing the resources out there, it's really important. Where's your favorite place to travel? I guess that's like asking, what's your favorite tree in the forest? But you got to have a couple favorites, right?
Oh, no, I do. Yeah, I get this question quite a bit. And you're right. It's very difficult to answer that. I'm sure that's true for you, too. But I would say the Costa Brava. So for people who don't know where that is, it is just north of Barcelona. And it's not as well known as places like the Cinque Terre or the Amalfi Coast. We've heard of those places, but it's similar to those places as far as beauty. We're talking about secluded coves, fishing villages. This is the homeland of Salvador Dali. And many of his paintings feature the landscapes of the Costa Brava, hilltop medieval villages, and just not as many tourists, because the Spanish know about it, Europeans know about it, but the cat's not out of the bag yet. So I would say definitely the Costa Brava. I go there whenever I can. We do a trip to Barcelona, and we have part of that trip is going to the Costa Brava as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the main cities there is Girona. So definitely spend a night or two there, at least visit Girona. And Cadaqués is another little seaside village. Anyways, I'm going to say Costa Brava.
Final answer. I'll accept it. And then I have to go visit because I've been to Spain, but I haven't been to Barcelona or in that part of Spain. I was closer to France. Cool. Very cool. You are going to be speaking at our summit and we're very excited for your presentation. Can you give us a little sneak peek or a little tease about what you're going to be talking about?
Yes, I'm going to be talking about, so staying on the topic of Spain, which of course is one of the places I know really well, I will be talking about the Camino de Santiago. And I lead several trips each year on the Camino de Santiago, and we specifically do the French way, and that's what I'll be talking about at the summit, the French way. And people think that the Camino de Santiago is one trail, but it's not. It's many trails. You've got the Portuguese way, you've got the primitive way, and you have the French way, called the French way because it comes down from France, right? So I'll be talking about that trail and specifically the last 110 kilometers on the trail, because to do the whole thing is like 45 days. So we're going to talk about something that's really accessible for most people who can take like 12 days off work or whatever. And it's also more accessible for varied fitness levels. So I will talk about logistics, lodging, mileage, you know, per day, talk a little bit about gear, what do you need to have to do the Camino. Spoiler, the shoes are the most important thing. And why it's important, why do people do it, is also a big part of what I'll be talking about. So I'm excited. It's a place I know well, and I've done the Camino many times now. And kind of going back to what we were talking about in the beginning, I know about the Camino because I did it a long time ago for a story for a magazine.
Oh, really?
So I was assigned a story to go walk the Camino and write about it. And this is like before smartphones and everything. So it was still kind of, you just showed up. And anyway, but and I always remembered it because it's a transformative experience. And here we are all these years later, and I'm taking people on it. So
that's beautiful. And so you had a transformational moment on your own personal experience walking the Camino. What kind of transformation do you see in your clients and guests that you take on the El Camino? Do you see a similar transformation?
I think there's two things. It's important not to put too much pressure on the Camino because sometimes it has this reputation of like, I'm going to figure out my life while I'm on the Camino. And that does happen for some people, and for other people, it's a long burn where it maybe comes to you later. And the message that you get from the Camino might not be the message you were hoping for. Okay. And I think it's really important to remember that it's really the inner Camino. Yeah, we're doing all this physical work, but it's the inner stuff that is what comes up most on the Camino. But I've seen all kinds of things happen. I think the biggest thing is just that watching guests prove to themselves, I can do something that's pretty difficult, physically difficult, and my body can do it, and I can accomplish big, hard things that are super rewarding.
It's on my list. I need to do it. I want to do the full 42. And then I was just talking to a woman in Costa Rica who there's now a Costa Rica, El Camino de Costa Rica. And goes from the Pacific to the Atlantic. And I forget how, I think she said it's like a 14-day hike or something. And she's been involved in an organization that's built this trail, and it stops in all these little remote villages along the way to kind of give some tourism to places that don't see it. Anyway, so now I've got all these hikes abroad that I need to take.
Oh, wow. That sounds amazing. You know Costa Rica well, and that's one of my favorite places too. So that sounds incredible.
Yeah, we'll have to do it.
Yeah.
We'll have to go. Let's put a group together and go. Where can we go to learn more about Bold Spirit Travel and your trips and all the things that you're doing?
Well, you can go to our website, of course, which is boldspirittravel.com. I also lead a bunch of classes. So I do online classes about travel. So I do one that's called Pack Like a Pro. I do another planning class called Dream Plan Go, which helps people plan their next adventure. If you're just like, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know what I want. That's a really good class for that. I lead a women's travel book club, and we only focus on books written by women about new cultures or travels. So we have read some really great books. The last one we just did was Between Two Kingdoms. Have you read that?
Love that book. Yeah, I had cancer, and so I read it while I was in treatment, and it was very powerful.
Wow. Yes, I can imagine that that will be very intense. And you probably know that they just released American Symphony, which I haven't seen yet.
She's amazing.
Yes, very amazing. So you can find me doing these classes. Most of them are free and workshops. And then, find me over at Bold Spirit, leading trips.
Well, how many trips do you lead a year?
We do the Amalfi Coast several times. We do some private trips. So people who have a group will hire us to take them. We do Portugal and the Camino and Barcelona. And we do some trips here in the Pacific Northwest to Leavenworth, Costa Rica. So yeah, many trips every year. It's a really great job.
Yeah. And I bet you have friends all over the world who have either joined you for a trip or who you see when you take groups out.
Yes, and really amazing guides and providers all around the world who inspire me all the time with their stories and their enthusiasm and their knowledge.
Yeah, so cool. Wasn't that so fun? Don't you just want to go on a big adventure now? And if you want to learn more about our virtual summit and more about what we do here at Hike Like a Woman and more about all of our amazing speakers and what they do, please head on over to our website, hikelikeawoman.com. Click that summit tab and you can find a whole lot more information. Thanks so much. I'll catch you next time.